Okay, I have good news and bad news. The good news is the air conditioning is working exceptionally well. The bad news is if you're trying to use internet, it won't happen here. Because the lightning hit us again. And our computers have been a little messed up. That one works, but that one's fried and the modem went along with it. So here we are. Having to use the good old hard copy, right? All right. Doesn't take a wire, does it? That's right, direct connections, Brian says. Whenever I was teaching in Atlanta back years ago, one of the principals at my alma mater that I was teaching at, he had a little plaque on his desk. And this is back whenever all the computers were mainframes. It basically said, to err is human, but to really foul things up, it takes a computer. So we're getting our share of that these days. Today we are going to talk about some things that are a little bit, let's just say, you have to be delicate about some of these things. I don't know that the Apostle Paul was, because he knew what was going on in the church in Thessalonica, and he could address those things directly. Well, we get to listen to him do it and know that God's speaking to us about it too. But at the same time, we have to kind of tread carefully as we go through things. Not because necessarily we need to in any way sugarcoat what the Bible says, but just because some things have to be dealt with carefully. So we'll do that today as we get there. We're going to be picking up in 1 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 3. We're, I think, about at verse 7. And we are again couching this in terms of what we need to hear from God about in order to be a church, a people of God, that is built to endure, to last, to make it through the hard times, make it through the difficult events. And truthfully, all of us have endured in some way difficult times at one point or another, either because we've invited them or because we've simply been in the, I guess, depending on how you look at it, the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time. And so therefore, we find ourselves enduring and having to endure. So where we are here in chapter 3, Paul is saying, therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. So what does Paul mean when he says, now we really live? Because in their distress and persecution, they hear of the other's faith. Why does he say, now we really live? And then I guess the second question could be, what are the implications of that? Okay? Andre said the connection between Paul and the believers in Thessalonica were so, it was such a tight bond because of the time that they had spent together. And in that, there was a sharing that once he hears this report of what's going on with them, then it impacts him as well. Okay? That the report of the good things, the faith that this group of people in this city have as they do express their faith, as they do live lives that are pleasing to the Lord, which we'll get into in just a minute, that no matter what he's going through, it sort of serves to be, if we were to turn it into doctor language, maybe an antidote, or in some way quells the pain that he might be experiencing personally, because they are bringing him joy because of what he hears about what's going on with them. Okay. Anything else? Because I don't know that I necessarily really know what he meant when he said, now we really live. But that expression surely does open up a lot of interesting possibilities. So what would he have been doing if he wasn't really living? And what does that mean? You know, if he didn't hear of their faith and wasn't encouraged by it, he's not dead, right? But he really lives because he hears that they are in the faith. And then you think about the implication of that. And the implication seems to be that there is a dimension to life that takes on a bigger than human perspective when we have invested ourselves and seen the life of Christ multiplied in other people. And then we hear that they are established and they're firm and they're growing. And we know that God has had us have a hand in that life. That the dimension of our lives takes on a different dimension. Does that make sense? So that we really live. We're not just living and we're not just getting by. But when we hear what God's doing in the lives of those other people, and that they are then also their testimony and their investment in other people, there's a greater dimension to our lives, no matter what might be coming against us. I think it's more like a parent, okay? In that a parent loves to see their kids get it and find the lessons that will really enrich their lives and live in accordance with those things that will bless them. And to see them be blessed and to bless other people. And that when a parent sees a child that makes choices that doesn't do that, you don't get angry so much, you don't get frustrated so much. There's a sorrow. It's not an anger. And you wish that they could see the blessing that awaits them, that is there, if they would only choose it, instead of being angry for what someone does or doesn't. Does that make sense? I think that's more the realistic context of, at least as you put it in Dane Dusty and my court. You know, when you see people make decisions that take them away from the influence that they need of the Holy Spirit and of being with God's people, where you see people do stuff that you know is self-destructive. And knowing that sometimes all you can do is wait for someone to come to you, or all you can do is literally watch and pray. That's all. No, I say all. I know that's a very important thing to do. It is. Still, it's frustrating, just like you watching a child that you love and you care for make those decisions. Ultimately, you can't make their decisions for them. That, I think, is much like what he's going through, because he uses that family language over and over and over again. Of being beloved and our children and fathers and you know all that. But you know that he's talking about that joy that comes from watching those children make those choices and standing firm even as they engage and endure difficulty, as he has endured difficulty. So does necessarily standing firm require us to endure persecution or face persecution? What do you think? Okay, persecution requires us to stand firm. All right. What are you standing for if you're not being firm? Okay. All right. Okay. So that was an argument for, or a interjection for bringing in the need to be standing firm and faithful even in the midst of no persecution. Because then when it comes, we're prepared. There's a hole there. Now, if you've got a 500-year-old tree, If you have a 500-year-old tree that blows over, okay, you have quite a hole. Okay, there's a huge gap. And this reminds me as well that in Hebrews, when the Bible talks about faith and its value and its effect, and my conviction about what the writer of Hebrews says about faith is that faith that continues and that saves is an enduring faith. That faith that doesn't have any endurance about it isn't really faith at all. So in a sense, to think that any one of us could live a life that was absolutely unconfronted by trouble, trying to figure that out. I mean, is that possible? I don't know that I've ever met anybody that can say that. I don't think it's possible. Does that make sense? The importance of the Word being a part of us. The importance of the Word being a part of us. Being the thing that we then measure everything by and bring everything to, so that whenever we endure the troubles, the trials, the persecution, it's already a part of us. It is already us. Let's move on to verse 9 down. So how can we thank God enough for you? In return for all the joy that we have in the presence of our God because of you. Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. How do those people that you have invested in and perhaps reached for Christ, how have they brought joy to your life? Because everything we've been talking about this morning is about that experience. Do we have enough people in our lives that we've invested in to get that experience? Not because we want it. Understand, I'm not couching this in terms of a selfishness. This is something that God wants us to experience, but we don't reach people for Christ so that we will feel joyful. It's not about you and me. But yes, there is a great deal of joy involved in what God does. Because we are plugged into His purpose and His plan. And He does want us to feel and hear the well done, good and faithful servant. Yes, but it's not about how we feel. That's not why we do it, even though it is a wonderful blessing byproduct of all of that. Do you have somebody in your mind right now that you want to help by supplying what is lacking in their faith? And are you listening to God to help you understand what that is? Because just because you and I might know, going back to what Don said earlier about Dusty and Dane and I, just because you may know what may be, in quote, lacking in somebody's faith, does not mean that you have carte blanche to go running into their lives and kicking the door in. That analogy worked for you. But that is why we are supposed to be in relationships. Because we then get the opportunity to walk through the door when it's open. And we are close enough where we can do that. Some of us here seem to be close to a lot of doors when they open. And some of us here wish that we had more doors that were open around us. Now, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's God leading and moving and directing the lives of those people that causes that door to be cracked. We cannot force it. We cannot. There is no way you and I can work it open. But that doesn't mean that we do nothing. It means we labor, we pray, we invest, we labor, we pray, we invest. And then we hope for opportunities like what Paul's describing. And we pray for it. Little House on the Prairie. All right, keep going. We'll see something about that when we get to the next part of this next week. So we'll get there. It's there. All right. Do you have plenty to think about and to be praying about? Quite a challenge. And we didn't even get to where I thought we were going to get today. So we get to go there next week. All right. Let's pray. Father, we want to be teachable. Lord, we want to be able to say that we have endured whatever might come at us that would try to tear us away from You or from our trust that You are good and that You are our God. We know what You have revealed to us through Jesus. We know that You are loving, kind, gracious, merciful, and that You have said You never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, there are people that we need to be praying for across the face of the planet who are investing in us in ways that we do not know, we do not understand. We don't even sometimes value the way that we should what they invest in us when they pray for us. Forgive us for that. Lord, help us as we do choose to walk with You and obey, and that, Lord, as we invest in the lives of other people, to see them changed, that, Lord, we do get to experience as part of that overflow the blessing and the joy of knowing what it's like to be able to see our spiritual children withstand the things that come at them. And that, Lord, we might grow in our strength, they would grow in their strength, and that, Lord, together we might really be Your kingdom on earth, Your people, walking in Your power and in great courage in the face of whatever may come against us. Lord, forgive us for believing that we live in a time that is unlike other times. Lord, there has always been opposition. There has always been alternate ideas and views about gods. There has always been someone who's going to belittle or ridicule anyone who has faith in a particular living God. And Lord, today we want to declare that we are going to trust You, we are going to hold on to You, we are going to seek You, and we are going to let Your Word live within us. And Lord, we want to see and hear and know. We want to see the world changed because You are the living God. Thank You for working in us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.